As I see it, he's published a book, and he's certainly written, expressed a view similar to what I understand is in that book, in a number of media in Australia. And he's attracted criticism over his opinion. Well, nothing particularly new about that. I've published extensively in the Australian media on the Middle East and then over here in America, and I can assure you I get criticized as well. I think that's par for the course. There is also, by the way, certainly in the Australian Jewish community, my experience, there is a spectrum of opinion. There are Jewish organizations with different approaches to these issues, but I think it would be fair to say that Mr. Lernsing falls well outside the consensus, even allowing for left-wing and more radical views within the Jewish community in some of the things that he says. Now, I've also noticed over many years that when far-left Jewish figures join fellow radicals in criticizing Israel, they then complain of censorship as soon as they've expressed themselves. Well, he's published a book, and he writes pieces in the Australian media and gets interviewed, I understand, on Australian television. So it seems to me that when it comes to voicing extreme criticism of Israel, Mr. Lernsing is probably confusing freedom of speech with immunity from criticism. The two aren't the same, and one has to put up with the one if you're to have the other.
The Jewish community, how do they feel about the coverage at the moment as a percentage weight?
Journalists often refer simply to the amount of destruction that may be occurring on one side or another, or to the relative casualty figures, and leave it at that, therefore implying that, well, if there's damage or destruction or civilian casualties, then the side that's doing that might be entirely in the wrong, whereas in fact war, of course, is a much more complex thing. Once again, that is the kind of thing that that exercises, I think, Jewish communities elsewhere, because they see the issue of self-defense not being correctly addressed. Proportionality, after all, is not, in international law, a question of the amount of force adequate. It is not a mathematical equality of the use of firepower between combatants. That has never been the meaning of proportionality in law. It is a question of the amount of force adequate to accomplishing a military objective. And the Israeli objective in this case is to prevent Hezbollah being able to wage war on it in the future and to attack its cities. That requires a warfare, and then people will get killed in that. But that's very often not the way it's presented, and that is one of the considerations that I think, as I say, exercises, I would assume, as Australian Jewish leaders, and certainly Jewish leaders that I have spoken to in America.
The Middle East Forum, how do they view the balance of coverage at the moment in the United States and worldwide?
I look at the coverage in America, which I find is actually very, very wide, wider than what I would see in Australia. From the daily papers, the New York Times obviously has a very different view of affairs from the Wall Street Journal, and the spectrum is even wider if you take it from various political and intellectual publications and journals like The Nation on the left wing, for example, and The National Review on the right. There is here a genuine discussion in as much that there are people arguing vigorously for both sides. Elsewhere in the world, particularly in Europe, that seems to be very much less the case. There is, as with the response, incidentally, of governments in Europe, there has been a tendency to ignore the original aggression of Hezbollah and to treat the Israeli response as aggression. And that is something that comes through both in statements that you hear, as I mentioned, the whole issue of disproportionality, which, as I say, is a distorted understanding of the whole concept. And in opinion pieces that you see in, shall we say, British newspapers.
I would understand a nation state would hope that a community, or their community, say Israel in this instance, would like a singularity of vision so they could carry through whatever actions. Does the Jewish community as a whole find that dissenting voices in the Israeli question does harm the community spirit, the holding together of the community under such situations as the Arab-Israeli conflict?
In my experience, that wouldn't be the case. It doesn't mean people don't care about what various critics of Israel say. They probably feel particularly wounded if some of the people who joined them are also people from the Jewish community. But I don't think it's a matter of morale as such. I think it's more focused on the issues. You don't want a situation, for example, in which the activities and actions of Israel's opponents, in this case, are being misrepresented or airbrushed out of the picture.
I suppose, just to turn the coin, does the Jewish community feel that there are enough Arab and Islamic voices in the media?
I don't see any suppression of their points of view. They're certainly there. I certainly have no trouble finding out what a particular Muslim or Arab organization in America might have to say on the subject. And I imagine it's the same in Australia as well.